Okay, a little bit more to talk with L.A. Marzulli about this fascinating discussion, but we'll take your phone calls this hour as well, and the lines are open, so we'll be right back for that. L.A., earlier you talked about prophecies of other cultures, Hopis, Nostradamus, the prophecies of Edgar Cayce.
Right.
Do they all, though, tie into this prophecy of Revelation?
Well, I don't think that they do. And again, this is the whole idea of this book that I'm working on, the Cosmic Chess Match. I mean, I really get into it. And the analogy I gave earlier about the cornfield and the different perspectives of time. The reason why I do that is because it enables us, stuck in this space-time continuum, to somehow get our heads around this other dimension, that when you go there, when you access that, you can get information, but we have to consider the source behind that information. And as once again, I'll go back to Jacques Vallée, because he says it so perfectly. These entities are messengers of deception, and you get half-truths with them. And this is why the people that you just mentioned, Nostradamus, Blossom Goodshot, Edgar Cayce, they get part of the truth, but not all of it. They get half-truths. And a lot of times, just out and out lies. They can see through time further than we can, but they don't get all of time. And don't ask me how that works, because I'm not there and I don't know. But they can see it in a different way than we can. And we get glimpses of this in certain prophetic texts where messengers, commonly known as angels, will say, well, now I'm going to fight the Prince of Greece. But in Earth time, that doesn't happen for 200 years. What are we looking at? How does all that work? How does it play out? And we don't know. We don't have all the answers. We know from quantum physics, we know from string theory, that other dimensions more than likely exist. We know that there's dark matter in the universe. At least it seems like that there is. We also know that we can't go the speed of light. What happens if somehow we could break the light barrier? So there's a lot of it we don't know. We really don't even know our origins. I'll never forget at the end of the Ben Stein movie, Expelled, I think he sits down with Richard Dawkins, all due respect to Dawkins, and Stein asks him, well, where do we come from? If we're not created, where do we come from? And here's the premier evolutionist, and all he can say is, well, maybe millions of years ago in another galaxy, a race of aliens, and Stein just kind of looks at him, raises one eyebrow, and realizes that this is a totally intellectually bankrupt argument. We don't know. I mean, if we're really intellectually honest, we don't know where we come from. We have certain mythos. I believe that a El Elyon, the Most High God, created us from nothing, but I believe our creation is, man's creation is rather new. I believe the universe could be billions of years old, but mankind on the scene, very, very new.
I would agree with that. And as this leads into what you have called the perfect storm, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And here we go.
Yeah, we are looking at events. When we look at the Middle East war, and we didn't get into the whole ramifications, but people need to understand that there's one move, and I touched on it briefly, the Straits of Hormuz. And we know that last week we talked about this briefly too. Last week, the S-300 in Abkhazia. Well, our counter move to the Russians was, okay, we're going to bring the USS Truman, this huge aircraft carrier, into the Straits of Hormuz. So we also know that it'd be very easy to close down, shut down the Straits of Hormuz with some sort of a radiological blockade. According to my intel, the Iranians have the coastline there are bristling in plain sight, bristling with missiles all pointing to the Straits. That's their first military option. They don't care. That's if cool heads don't prevail, which we hope that they do. But if the Straits of Hormuz is hit, it will immediately shut down 40 to 60% of the world's oil. What's that going to do here? $200, $300 barrel oil, $10, $15 at the pump? You see where it could go? If let's say, and these are just scenarios, George. I'm just, they're just scenarios. I'm not saying that they're going to happen, but looking at where we are, what if the Katla volcano erupts? We talked about that earlier.
What if Yellowstone goes?
What if Yellowstone goes and the ash cloud is huge? What better time, if you can't fly airplanes, to attack Israel if you wipe out the Israeli Air Force because they can't get airborne? You have a ground war, which is exactly what Ezekiel 38 seems to indicate. I mean, we don't know what we're looking at, but it's what if dirty bombs? What if this this whole thing sort of happens at the same time. What if a volcano goes off, or the Middle Eastern armies begin to go at it? Dirty bombs happen here, or a volcano erupts, or Yellowstone, or the Gulf Stream really does or stall completely, which puts us into a mini ice age. I mean, the factors here, I can go, so many different things can happen, and they're continuing to happen. What happens if we get like a 7.2 earthquake, which finally triggers some sort of a tsunami? And, you know, tens of thousands of people, just sure. like the one that happened in Asia.
Well, what do you think of the prophecy of Fidel Castro? He thinks a nuclear war is very possible.
Yeah, for Fidel to come out of hiding. I mean, remember, this guy's been sick now for a number of years.
Yeah, for all intents and purposes, he was dead for 3 years.
Well, exactly. And his brother's running the country. So, you know, Fidel Castro is saying that we are a threat of imminent nuclear war, and that the world's face, he's looking at Obama to solve all this. And frankly, I don't think Obama can solve anything. I mean, it's, what do you do when you've got a nut job in North Korea who threatens to use nuclear force if there are military exercises near his country? I mean, it's crazy. If the intel, if the reporting is true, if it's not all hyperbole, if it's really true, I mean, that's beyond the pale. That's insane. Yeah. You know, for it's just, and it's just, all it takes is somebody just to go, you know, go over the line, just to be pushed a little bit. And frankly, I think we're accelerating towards it. I really do, unfortunately.
All right, to the calls we go now. David's in San Francisco. Go ahead, David. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, good evening.
Hi.
I was listening in and was hearing the hypothesis about the angels being, you know, our creators, as it were, being the extraterrestrials, and the idea that from the biblical sense, where two-thirds of the angels are good and one-third is bad, and they set them off, and that the two-thirds protect us from the one-third with kind of a no-interference policy, but that, you know, as long as it's, you know, like they're mucking about, but without being overt about it, as it were.
What about this intervention here, L.A.? Do you think they can step in and save us? I don't think so.
Yeah, there's a real interesting prophecy which talks about that, and it's a controversial prophecy because, like a lot of this stuff, it depends on who's interpreting the text, and there's different opinions, and everyone's entitled to their opinion, certainly. My opinion is this, of this one particular text, which I'll share in a second. The text basically states that the Antichrist will not be revealed until two things happen. First, the great falling away happens, okay, which I write about in Politics, Prophecy, Supernatural. The next thing is until the restrainer is taken out of the way, until this, whatever force this is, some people believe it's the spirit of a living God and believers all over the planet. That's fine. I don't particularly believe that. I believe it's one of the angels, which ties into David's question. And it says, until that restrainer is taken out of the way. We're told in the book of Revelation that Michael specifically comes to fight and goes to the second heaven and basically kicks this whole host of fallen angels out of the second heaven. Now they're trapped in the space-time continuum on Earth. So we know that this battle ensues, and I believe Michael is literally being pulled back, which is why we're seeing Michael and his forces are being pulled back in a very organized retreat. It's not a rout. It's a retreat in order to allow this to happen. Why? It's got to play out, which is a three-hour discussion. It really is. It's a three-hour discussion to get into that. But I think the good angels are being pulled back to allow this last manifestation, which I believe is the coming great deception.
Well, you may be right. Let's go to Nanticoke, Pennsylvania. Anna, go ahead, east of the Rockies.
Thank you for taking my call. Sure. In Revelations 18:21-24, without reading the passage, it talks about a nation being totally laid waste within the space of an hour. And I was wondering if you could, I really believe the United States is Babylon the Great in the Bible. And I was wondering if you had any opinion, especially with the terrorists liking to have these synchronized attacks, if this verse could be referring to those smuggled in nuclear devices being set off in the United States in a coordinated fashion.
Great question, and thanks for calling in, Anna. One of your past guests, Patty Heron, believes, and Patty and I have debated this and talked about it, Patty believes that New York is Babylon. That's what Patty believes. And so Patty believes that what this passage in Revelation 18 is the destruction of New York. There are people in prophetic circles who look at this passage and wonder if Babylon is what he's pointing to actually is what we're looking at now in New York, especially when one of the let me see if I can just look where it is, but it talks, yeah, here it is. Listen to what it talks, what it says. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, Babylon, because no one buys their cargoes anymore, cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple silk, scarlet cloth, every sort of wood, articles of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron, marble, cargoes of cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, olive oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, carriages, bodies and souls of men. I mean, when we look at Babylon, which is actually located in Iraq, it's a wasteland. There's nothing going on there. So there's two things, and there's two sides, like a lot of this prophecy, because it will at some point become self-evident. There are those in prophetic circles, Anna, who believe that ancient Babylon will be rebuilt. What we have seen is what petrodollars can do in just 2 years. Just look at Dubai. Just look at Dubai, like the Burj Tower. I mean, in a number of years, that whole city, just in a very short time, it just comes up because of the billions of dollars in petrodollars just rises up from the desert floor. Well, Babylon could be resurrected that way. That's one certain possibility. The other possibility is that Babylon is actually could be New York City, and that's what we might be looking at. But certainly that passage I read from Revelation seems to indicate that the best candidate for that might be New York City, at least at the present moment. But at some point, it'll be self-evident. You know, at some point, if we see something happen in Iraq where our troops are pulled out, and let's say, and I've talked about this on your show before, George, the King of Jordan, right, certainly a player, watch him. Watch if he doesn't rebuild Babylon. If Babylon starts to get rebuilt with the billions of petrodollars that Iraq's to spend, then I would shift to what, you know, that Babylon is literal, not allegorical, and that it's not New York, it's the ancient city being resurrected. At some point, we'll see.
All right, next caller, we've got Dan in Hemet, California. Hey, Dan, thanks for holding.
Hey, how's everybody doing tonight?
Okay.
Great. I'm going to make this as fast as possible so we can get as many calls in as possible. This is really good stuff. Number one, I heard that HAARP up in Alaska makes an electromagnetic field that's 250,000 times more powerful than the Earth's electromagnetic field, 250,000 times, and can do immense environmental damage. Isn't it possible that HAARP may be causing all of the earthquakes and volcanoes and weird weather and stuff? And number two, about the dirty nukes in the city, there's something that's even worse than that. That's when the Russian Spetsnaz troops invaded America disguised as tourists driving campers and vans, came in through the borders of Canada and Mexico back in the late 70s. They mined all of America's dams, lakes, and water reservoirs with Soviet nuclear mines. Anytime Russia wants to, they can wipe out our water coast to coast, border to border, upon satellite command. Isn't that a little worse scenario than dirty nukes? And number three, I actually talked to Michael the Archangel in person last November. And he told me some very interesting things, which I can't go into right now.
Give us some highlights.
Well, the highlight is, it's all about over, folks. In fact, I heard the latest intel is they plan on microchipping every human on the planet by no later than 2017. Probably be fast sooner than that, way things are going. I will tell you this. I did see a perfectly round saucer in 2001. One of the women from it said her name was Tomorrow, And after, and I seen a bunch of my dead relatives coming by saying hi to me next few days after it landed. I'd like to get his comment on if he thinks I'm being deceived by the Nephilim or not.
All right. Well, let's get your comments on this, Lynn, if you want.
Well, I would say, I mean, look, just because of what you're dealing with, I don't know you, obviously, but what you just told me, my first thing is that all this that you're getting, Michael the Archangel is more than likely not Michael the Archangel. There are books. I've spoken to people. Joanna Michelson is certainly someone that has been through this. When I was involved prior to my sort of Paul on the Road to Damascus conversion 30 years ago, I was steeped in gurus and Middle Eastern mysticism and had similar type of experiences. So I've been on both sides of the aisle. And so I would caution you, Dan, that somehow you've opened yourself up to this kind of stuff. And we're not equipped to deal with this. We're not. Which is why we're told to avoid necromancy or talking of the dead or any of this kind of stuff, or mediumship, any of this. We're not equipped to deal with it. We don't have the mental capacity to deal with it. These beings, again, I'll say it, are messengers, are masters of deception, and they are super intelligent beings, far greater than what we are. So I'd be very, very cautious in your dealings with any of these entities. And to answer your HARP question, certainly a possibility that HARP has something to do with it. People have been talking about that. On the other hand, we may be looking at just exactly what these things are, that the Earth is beginning to shift and change and things are happening because we are accelerating, moving towards this time, which ancient prophetic text warns us of a priori in advance. And that's the position that I take.
Let's get Bob in Festus, Missouri. Go ahead, Bob. Thanks.
Yeah, hi. Hi. Nice to talk to you guys. I'm a Christian. Not all Christians believe this, but the big event that you're talking about that will cause the possibility of UFOs suddenly appearing is what Tim LaHaye said in the Left Behind book, the parousia or the rapture of Christian believers, the sudden disappearance of millions of people that are close to Jesus Christ. They will be, as St. Paul said in his letters, in a twinkling of an eye, taken up. The dead will rise first, and the others will rise up that are living at the last trump, which corresponds to some of the Jewish festivals. This event, if you'll notice, in 1947, when Israel was founded, you had Roswell and the appearance of many UFO sightings after that. What I'm getting at is if you had millions of Christians suddenly disappear, there would be chaos in the world. Explanations. New Agers would say that the Christians were taken away to another plane of existence. They had to be reeducated. And these UFOs could come and say, yes, yes, we took those people away, and we're here to help solve things. I do want to mention regarding Israel that one of the things in the Left Behind series, and it's also in Ezekiel, that a consortium of nations, including Iran and some of the former Soviet Muslim republics, including possibly Syria as a side country, possibly even support from Russia, will try to attack Israel. But Israel will not be destroyed. Actually, it will be a miraculous intervention from God. And if this happens, I would expect that the believing Christian church, not people who are nominal Christians, but people who really are in tune with Jesus, will be taken away.
All right, and we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Chris Dunn joins us as he talks about lost technologies of ancient Egypt. Looking forward to that. And when we come back, let's take final phone calls with L.A. Marzulli as we talk about really the harbingers of things to come. His works, a number of them, include, of course, a book he's working on, but the Nephilim trilogy, the alien interviews as well. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. LA, as we look at all of this, is there one part of the prophecy that stands out more than anything, or is it just an accumulation of all of them?
Well, remember, these, it says in the beginning, these are the beginning of sorrows, beginning of troubles.
Yeah.
And I think that we're accelerating towards it. The place to watch, obviously, is the Middle East. Everything hinges around Israel. And a lot of people don't like the fact that it all hinges around Israel. I didn't write this stuff, but it does. It hinges around Israel. What I would, you know, caution people to look at, or not caution, but point people to look at, is the Middle East. That's where everything is going to come down. If, and look, if it's a small regional war like the little Israeli-Lebanon thing in 2006, that's not what we're talking about. But if Russia joins in the fray, or if we're looking at, let's say, the nations of Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Egypt, that type of affair comes up against Israel, then we're looking at another prophecy, Psalm 83, which my friend Bill Salas talks about. Could be. At some point, George, it's going to be self-evident. Where it goes from there, I believe, it will trigger supernatural events. I really believe this. We're seeing little scenes of it, little vignettes of it, mile-wide craft, three-mile-wide craft. We keep hearing about the abductions, about the breeding program. It's all linked together. And then we look at what's happening globally here with the fires and the earthquakes and the floods and the tsunamis and the oil spills. And it just goes on with the disaster, the looming financial disaster, certainly in this country. It wouldn't take much to really put the spin on this thing.
I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
Where it will go from there, if there is a war, if it is the Ezekiel 38 war, I believe it will trigger the supernatural. And that's the time when we will see our so-called great hope come in, the extraterrestrial. We seeded here. We seeded you here. We created all life on this planet. We genetically manipulated you. We created Earth civilizations. Your ancestors worshiped us as gods. We're back at this critical juncture to help you now. And people will embrace this. Look, we've been set up with this, with Darwinism and the missing link, and where do we come from? And no one really knows. And, you know, we've been hit with movies for the last 20, 30 years, for crying out loud, about all this stuff. So we're primed for it. And we keep getting little scenarios like the Churchill Eisenhower, little vignettes, little tidbits of information that, well, you know, we knew about this, we didn't want to tell you. So, but we can't vet the information because everybody's dead. Isn't that convenient? But when this thing hits, George, it'll become overwhelming. Prophecy says that there will be a great falling away. The Greek word is apostasia, apostasy. It's a deliberate falling away. Falling away from what? Falling away from what most people believe, just like Churchill was talking about. The cool thing is, and, you know, Bob in the last, right before the break, sort of hinted at that. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get religious here because, you know, a lot of people have been hurt by religion. So I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about these two cosmic forces. One is incredibly benevolent. The other one is incredibly wicked. And Yeshua, which is the Hebrew name, the Greek, we know him by Jesus. The whole idea here is this second coming. And it's like, you know, we're not talking about religion or monks with funny haircuts or stained glass windows or candles or pews or confessionals or televangelists and all this ridiculous stuff which has surrounded it. We're talking about when he was here. You've heard me talk about this before. Everybody got healed. Everybody got healed. Lepers got healed. People, I mean, all these things. I remember I was on a show a while back, and this guy was like, you know, challenging me on this. And I said, look, if you had cancer and I knew about this guy and I brought him in and he healed you of cancer, is that a good thing? And after 10 minutes of wrangling, finally he admitted, well, okay, it would be a good thing. Of course it's a good thing.
What took him so long?
Well, you know, the relativism, moral ethics, and all that stuff. There are no absolutes. There are no rights or wrongs, good or evil. It's all what we perceive. And I disagree. If someone comes in and heals your dying wife or your child of cancer, that's an incredible act of benevolence. It's wonderful. And that's what the stories tell us. They've been obfuscated by, you know, the church and robes and monks and incense and all this stuff, which has nothing to do with anything. It drives me crazy when I see it all, because it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. We're talking about a benevolent interdimensional being that I believe created the entire universe, literally the entire universe, spoke it into existence. That's the type of power we're talking about here. And when he was here for a short period of time, he demonstrated that. When he's out on the sea, you know, talking about the weather thing and the supernatural, I've been saving this for this point. And this is why we're told this great storm comes up out of nowhere. In the book I'm working on, The Cosmic Chess Match, I tie this into the fallen one. The fallen one's trying to kill Yeshua. There's no doubt. This storm is supernatural, in my opinion. Some people may disagree. That's fine. I believe it's supernatural. Yeshua stands up at the boat and goes, "Be still." Boom. It's not a gradual dissipation of a storm. It's like he can control on somehow the subatomic molecular level and is able to stop the storm. Look, the Shroud of Turin special, which aired on the History Channel this past year, was astounding. And you could see that the guys who were doing the research were just blown away by this thing.
Right. Yeah.
I
don't think they expected it.
No, they didn't. I don't think it did either. He was overwhelmed by what he saw, absolutely overwhelmed. And I believe it's a calling card, and it shows us that there's this whole other physics that we know nothing about, and that this being came from that dimension. He even says it. He even tells us, you know, where I come from, you can't go, and you don't even know where I come. He's telling the people of his time who he was. And I believe he's going to come back. And he does ride on a white horse, which is really cool, at the Battle of Armageddon. Some people call that mythos. At some point in time, folks, it's going to be self-evident. We'll have to wait and see.
And to the phones we go. Joe is truck driving in Wisconsin. Hey, Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. And
of course.
Long-time listener.
Thank you.
And appreciate having him on. I think he's got his ducks in a row of all the things that I've heard and listen to. He has putting into words exactly how I have gathered everything that you've had on the show, and I really appreciate you having him on, and I think he's got his ducks in a row, and I very much thank you for that.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate the kudos. Thanks so much.
All right, how about that? Okay, you're welcome. Very nice. Cedar City, Utah, it's Jackie's turn. Go ahead, Jackie.
Yes, I was wondering if there's any way possible that CERN could expedite this in any way or have something to possibly do it with speeding things up.
CERN, of course, LA is the particle accelerator in CERN between Switzerland and France. Uh-huh. And some have said that it could create a black hole. Who knows?
Well, again, prophecy points to a time, and these are the most sobering words that I've ever read. I mean, they're alarming to me, really alarming, that unless those days were shortened, no flesh would survive. So we are headed into unprecedented times. And if we talked tonight, and I think we belabored the points of all the different phenomena that's going on the planet, not only the man-made stuff, but the natural, you know, tsunamis and earthquakes and the fires and the aquatic life and the oil spill and all this stuff, we start adding it up together. And then we plug in, you know, the burgeoning UFO phenomena, the Nephilim breeding program, all this stuff. It's like we are accelerating, ramping up towards some sort of a climax. And I think, and I know I'm repeating myself here, but I think it's important to look and understand that everything happens around the Middle East. The Middle East is the tinderbox. It touches off. It opens up. It kicks off the supernatural. When this thing begins to happen, and this war and this other dimension begins to spill over on this earth, man, it's going to get really, really nasty at that point. Really nasty.
Shane is in Nashville, Tennessee, and a first-time caller. Hi, Shane.
How you doing, George?
Good.
I just had a quick question. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering to know what he thought about the Project Blue Beam Maitreya correlation and what the how Organite were to use as a weapon against evil. My question.
Okay. The Maitreya, of course, some believe that this individual or this entity is the Antichrist. Have you heard of that, L.A.?
Absolutely. In fact, I've been following Maitreya since 1982, and I do write about him in the upcoming book. We've talked about this before, and I think it's since Shane brought this up. This is from the back of the third book. It's also the second book talks about it too, but this is the back of the third book of the Nephilim trilogy. It was written it was released in 2005. This is what it says: the supposed reemergence of the Bethlehem star, a mysterious shining light over Jerusalem, has the world on edge. Fast forward to 2009. That's 4 years after my my book, Benjamin Cram comes out and says, guess what? The Bethlehem Star was a giant UFO, and now we're going to see the reemergence of the Bethlehem Star. I wrote this in 2005, George, and the reason why I used it as a plot device, even though it's fictional, I said, if I were going to create a deception, what would I do? I know, I would pretend, I would say that UFOs was really what the so-called wise men saw 2,000 years ago, and that's what it was. And then I would say, it's back again. And it's like life imitating art. I about fell over when I read that. But I've got this in print 2005, and Benjamin Cram in 2009 is saying exactly, verbatim, what I said 4 years earlier. It's life imitating art. So to me, this is, you know, of course, it's deception. There's actually a video that we carry, and it's on what the Star of Bethlehem was, and it's this rare planetary conjunction of Venus and Jupiter that happened precisely in the window of time when these guys from the East, so-called wise men, it was a caravan of people, came to visit the Christos, the anointed one, the Mashiach, the Messiah.
All right, we go now to Jason in Greenville, South Carolina. Hey, Jason, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, George. Good morning, L.A.
Morning.
How's everything going?
Great, man. Thanks for calling.
I hear you. God bless you, Buzz, man. Listen, L.A., I think you hit everything on the nail on the head, you know, as far as, you know, the end time coming here pretty soon. You know, we all dread that. Everything.
A lot of people feel that.
And everything. Yeah. And, you know, I've been a miracle ever since I was born. You know, my days should have ended a long time ago. But does the Bible ever speak about, you know, people with birthmarks on their forehead? Because I've had to live my whole life, you know, with the birthmark of the bee, which I thought, you know, victory through Jesus, you know, to get me through the rough times of my life and everything. And, but, you know.
You've got a V on your head, on your forehead?
Yeah, birthmark. But, you know, that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
But, you know, fortunes, you know, it stands for victory. But, you know, I think we all should just say our prayers and count our blessings, you know, that we've lived a long life and that everything, you know.
Jace, let me jump in here. Change the victim to victory. Change the V from victim to victory, and your life will change.
Yeah.
Pronounce that over yourself, not a victim, that you're victorious. Say that over yourself.
The other thing, too, L.A., is everybody is in this thing together.
Yeah, we are.
There's no individuals here, you know?
No, we are, George. When this thing comes down,
it's all or none.
It's going to get nasty.
It's all or none. Let's go to Janice in Tacoma, Washington. We'll get you in. Time for a few more calls. Go ahead, Janice.
Hi, I started the show and you were talking about Revelations. I was wondering, considering the story of the Tower of Babel in the Old Testament, if kind of seems like the internet could be another Tower of Babel, but does the Bible talk about the Tower of Babel happening again?
It doesn't say that, but what's interesting, it's a really interesting question that you answer, that you're asking, and I think the listeners will find this interesting. It says, in one of the prophecies, that in the last days it will be like the days of Noah, okay? And most of us have looked at that passage and agree, okay, what's the days of Noah? And we know Genesis 6 and the Nephilim and the fallen angels. Got it. But it also could point, and I'm stretching a little bit here, and I'll certainly admit that. It also could point, Noah lived for 300 years after the flood, okay? 300 years after the flood, according to the text. Guess what happened in that 300-year period? The Tower of Babel was built. Guess what happened this year on January 4th? The Khalifa, the Burj Khalifa, was dedicated, and the tallest building ever constructed by human hands on the planet. Is that coincidence? I don't think so. I think
there
it may have something to do with where we are.
Well, and as you know, L.A., I don't believe in coincidences. Everything I think has a reason. Everything.
Absolutely.
Next up, we go to El Paso, Texas. Get you in here. Henry, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Say, sure. I'd just like to line this up with science. You know, there's a giant gravitational EMF that's now entered our solar system. It'll be here between 2020 and 2050. This might be what everybody's talking about, being in another dimension in the second heaven. Since this thing's going to stop the planet, everything will be scraped off and then pulled off the planet. More than likely, this is the devil himself coming to reap what he thought he was going to get, and the Lord took 6,000 years ago in the times of Noah when he stopped those people from being here. Now the planet's occupied mostly by Christians who believe in God. So more than likely, all of that stuff that's in the Bible, if you look at it with a scientific eye, is made to give us a way to save ourselves. And I think this is really what's going on. Has anybody lined up this kind of science with astronomy and the wars and rumors of wars with the Bible? Is there anybody working on a project that brings them both together?
L.A., that's basically what you've been talking about tonight, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think that we're looking at, look, knowledge has increased, and we're in the information age. At the touch of a button in my computer, I can access anything I want to study, learn, or give to someone else. I mean, we are in an unbelievable age. The problem is that what's happening is that the supernatural is now intersecting with the natural like never before. It's another dimension which is intersecting with our dimension. And this veil which has separated these two worlds is growing thinner and thinner. And at some point, the veil will be ripped away, and that's when this thing will literally all hell will break loose for a period of time.
What are you doing personally to prepare yourself?
Well, on a physical level, we've got 4 to 6 months worth of food. We've got a garden. We're armed, not to start shooting people or hunkering down in a bunker, but to protect the loved ones, because there are crazy people on the planet. Yep. And, we have that in place. We have people that we have are like-minded with, that if something really comes down, we'll pool our resources together, and those who aren't prepared will welcome as many as we possibly can into the little tribe, whatever you want to call it. Hopefully, it won't get to that point.
I think you have to. L.A., thanks again. Would you give out your website?
LAMarzulli.net, LAMarzulli.net. George, it's been great. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Very enlightening, and I got to tell you, also kind of scary. It makes you think. Makes you think, indeed. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe.